man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483, 400-4483.
Hello there, and welcome to the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag Podcast. It is Tuesday, April the 9th, 9:15 a.m. Central Time. Do not have a lot of questions from you guys today, which is okay because I have to head over to the football complex to do some student-athlete interviews. I think we get the defensive backs and defensive linemen today, see how things are going in spring practice and looking ahead to the 2024 season. So that should be interesting. And if you want to tune in this week to Scott and I on the Hotspot podcast, we'll talk about some of the things we heard from those interviews. I think we're going to do it Thursday morning, but there's also some football availability on Thursday morning, so we may push the podcast to Friday morning. I think that might be best, but I will let you know. Check out Rob Howe HN. That's at Rob Howe HN on Twitter X, and hopefully I remember to send out an update on our schedule for this week. But as of now, likely we'll have to push that Hotspot podcast to either tomorrow, which is Wednesday, April the 10th, or Friday, which is April the 11th. Will depend on where things are on our week. So we'll let you know. And obviously, the number one topic in Hawkeye land right now is the end, the conclusion of the Caitlin Clark era at Iowa. Finished on Monday night with, I believe it was a 12-point loss. Sounds about right, roughly, to South Carolina, a game where Iowa was in within, what, 5 points with 4 minutes to play, so against the number one team, unbeaten team in the country. So, coffee sip. What I wrote about Sunday was, you know, you don't want to take moral victories, and that certainly was not the case. Iowa was in that game to win it. No moral victories there. But I also don't think you let the disappointment linger too long with that one. Iowa was a 6.5, 7 point underdog in that one, expected to lose. Again, no moral victories. Iowa was capable of winning that game had it played better. It did not. It didn't play well enough to beat a team as good as South Carolina. And we saw the same thing last night, the next night, with Purdue against UConn, a very similar scenario where you have a really good dominant team and another really good team that has to play at its best to be able to win, and just didn't happen. And it's the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes there are upsets. A lot of times the favorites win, and that was the case this year with UConn and South Carolina. I would say that the gist of my column was that should be proud. You know, the players and coaches especially, they put in a lot of the work needed to achieve what Iowa achieved the last 2 years, which was a pair of national championship game appearances. And if you just put into perspective, Iowa's been a really good program historically. C. Vivian Stringer is a legend, a Hall of Famer. And Lisa Bluter has, you know, taken the program to heights it's never seen before, and is the winningest coach in program history. And, you know, Iowa had made the Final Four once before last year, and has now made two national championship games. And that's It's an incredibly high bar now for the program to have to reach, but this is the pinnacle of this program. This is the highest heights this program has ever reached, and it changed the game. This team changed the game. It was like, you know, a smaller version of, you know, the Beatles or, you know, Taylor Swift these days. Not to that level, not to that extreme popularity, but in terms of sports, in terms of college athletics, but in terms of sports in general, the Iowa women's basketball team was the biggest attraction that there was. I mean, yeah, there's a Super Bowl and yeah, there's a World Series and, you know, the NBA Finals and, you know, all of those things are enormous when it comes to sports. But when you think about just one team that people followed, that people lined up hours before the start around arenas, traveled for hours to get to the closest venue where Caitlin Clark and the Iowa women's basketball team was playing. That is incredibly unique and historic. And no matter what happens Sunday, that can never be taken away from this team. And I know there's been a lot of, I don't know what the word is that I want to use, just kind of sniping almost at Caitlin Clark. And there are a lot of layers to this, and I've talked about it before, how sometimes in these situations where, and I think the best comparisons are Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan. And if you remember, Michael Jordan was frozen out in an all-star game, or at least that was the idea. And then with Tiger Woods, there was obviously a lot of backlash. And the thing to keep in mind for the, and I get that because there are great players that came before Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and Caitlin Clark. And again, this is on a smaller scale with Caitlin, but the largest scale when it comes to women's athletics, that the, for lack of a better term, the great players that came before her feel like, why is she getting all the attention when we didn't? But you have to kind of put your ego aside and realize that rising tide lifts all boats. Caitlin is going, is lifting the game. And that's, if you care more about the game than you do yourself or other great players that you played with not having gotten attention in the past, think about the future and that Juju Watkins will get the attention and Hannah Hidalgo and Lauren Betts and just go down the line of really good players that are young still that are, you know, in, that'll stay in college basketball. And in addition to that, she's going to raise the profile of the WNBA and make everybody more money, most people more money. And that's, that should be celebrated. And I get it. You're somewhat offended that your great play wasn't recognized to the level of Caitlin's great play, but Caitlin is a unique player in terms of the way she plays the game. She's an, you know, a super engaging personality in terms of the time she gives to fans and media and all that. I find it hard to bash her in any way or criticize her in any way. And I have criticized her. I thought her behavior, coffee sip, in the first few rounds of the tournament, and you know, where her dad had to reprimand her, were, that was a bad look. And she, and to her credit, she adjusted that, and it was much, much better once they got out of Iowa City and were in Albany and Cleveland. Some cracks the other night, a little bit here and there, but every player complains. It's just when it goes overboard, I think that's a turnoff for people. But I think she'll mature and handle that better in the league. And the draft is less than a week away now. It's Monday, the 15th. So she'll be officially an Indiana Fever at that point, member of the Indiana Fever at that point, and move on. And Iowa is left to figure out what the future looks like. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on this podcast. The Iowa baseball team lost 2 out of 3 to Michigan this past weekend at home. The starting pitching just has not been consistent. It's one guy up, one guy down. It's just they haven't been able to put all three. They shuffled the rotation and put Brecht at the back end this weekend because they wanted to give him some extra bullpen work during the week, and that pushed his start back. That's what they said. Yeah, Obermueller, Marcus Morgan, Kate Obermueller, Marcus Morgan, Brody Brecht have all been kind of up and down this year. If they can hit their stride, I still think this can be a dangerous team, but just has not found the consistency. 5-4 in the Big Ten now. It's going to have to really stack some wins together here the rest of this conference season to be able to put itself in position to make the NCAA tournament without having to win the Big Ten tournament. So stay tuned on that. As I said, we have some spring football opportunities the next Tuesday, next two Tuesdays and Thursdays. So expect to see more spring football content out there, which is a good thing. We'll get an idea of how things are going over there for a very important session for this football team. And a reminder that I think it's the 20th, I think April 20th, it's a Saturday, it's the Saturday after tax day, is the open spring practice at Kinnick Stadium. You can find details of that on HawkeyeSports.com, but that'll be a good opportunity for folks to get a chance to go out and get the first look at the 2024 Hawkeye football team. And then you'll have another opportunity in August at Kids Day, but you don't get a lot of these. So mark that down. It's Saturday morning, April the 20th at Kinnick Stadium here in Iowa City. I think that's pretty much it. Not a lot of transfer portal news since last week. So we'll kind of see how things go here. I'm working on a look ahead to the 24-25 women's basketball team, as I did for the men's basketball team. But that, as we know with the transfer portal and NIL, is usually a fluid situation. All right. I don't have many questions here, as I said at the top. And as we've done this through the years, we get to this stage after basketball season, spring football, little bit of interest in terms of questions from you guys, but for the most part, things tend to slow down this time of year when it comes to the Mailbag podcast. And I always say, listen, if I don't have a big enough response, enough questions each week, I'll turn to maybe a different podcast episodes. And I do a Substance Before Style podcast, which kind of integrates sports and kind of human life. What else would I talk about? Animal life, but sports and life, basically, and different topics that are of interest that intertwine those sports I've done in the past. And I may kick up some more of those if it seems like the mailbag is fading at all. So that is not a warning. That is just letting you guys know if the questions start to fade. I think I have two questions today. I probably won't proceed to do these each week if they're going to be like 20 minutes long. We'll see how long this ends up being, because I can bullshit a little bit too and talk outside of just answering your questions. Before we get to those questions, I want to let folks know that support for this podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org. Thank you to Systems Unlimited for supporting the podcast. And certainly, more importantly, for the great work it's done in the community for more than half a century. I'm going to hear from a few more of our supporters here, and I will be back on the other side with the questions, and then we'll wrap it up for the week. Hang in there.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deere Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deere, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Hey guys, switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Chad Birch right here in Iowa City can switch you over so you can start saving today. Chad and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With Chad Birch, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Thank you to Chad Birch for his support and also Systems Unlimited and everybody else you've heard from throughout the podcast. We certainly appreciate their support and ability to bring you these podcasts free of charge. No Patreon, any of that stuff. I PSA this every week, but Monday, Wednesday, Friday is the flagship podcast with Pat Hardy and the boys at KCJJ. Tuesdays, most Tuesdays are the mailbag, and most Thursdays are the hot spot with Scott Docterman. We also have a history, Hawkeye history podcast with former Iowa kicker Brian Hurley. And then, as I said, we have some other prospect podcasts with recruits with a recruiting angle to do it. Substance Before Style, which is a sports life type podcast. So check us out Monday through Friday. We have usually have a fresh, regular schedule wise, we have a fresh Hawk centric podcast every day of the business week, and then plenty of others as well. So subscribe, like, all that stuff. It helps us, and we certainly appreciate it, and it helps us help you hear about the Hawks. So I did get an extra question in here from Jesse Lucier, which is nice. So we're up to three questions, and we'll hop in with yesterday, Trip Manfro at PFAC 51. Will Bluter's Bunch get a second place trophy from the NCAA? Is that a thing? Coffee sip. It used to be a thing. I'm not sure if it still is, though. I'll try to look into that for you. I did read this question last night, but not sure. I don't remember if they have one from, I'm pretty sure there's a runner-up trophy. If there isn't, there should be. I mean, they give one out in state basketball, right? So why not for a national championship? Should definitely get a runner-up trophy for finishing second in the country. I know it's not the one you want, and you don't get to hang a net over it, but and by net, I mean the basketball net, not like a fishing net. But it should be a thing. And I just, for you, here's a coffee sip, Trip. Trip likes to think of me and always gives me a coffee sip within his questions, which I appreciate. And I'm going to take one now. All right. I'll look into that for you, though. I'll do a quick Google search here, but I'm sure you've done that. Is there a runners-up trophy in NCAA women's basketball? It doesn't really say. You think it would say somewhere, but it doesn't, and that's okay. I'll look over there when I go over there today. Well, I won't be in the basketball I won't be in Carver. I'll be over at the football facility, so I can't check out there. Sorry about that trip. It's a good question, and I know, as I said, most championships, whether it be like tennis, where you get Wimbledon and you get the smaller trophy or whatever, usually there's a secondary trophy, which is good. This should be a symbol of this season. I'm sure there will be a banner in the rafters, certainly recognizing another national championship game. And those will be up there and hanging from the rafters. And I got to think Caitlin's jersey announcement will come at some point. And maybe she can come back during next season and they can raise the jersey to the rafters. I have a feeling that will be happening at some point this next winter, with the honoring of Caitlin Clark. And we'll see if there's eventually a statue put outside, but that's the type of career she's had. It's retiring a number. It's, you know, there needs to be, symbols of her career at Iowa when people visit campus. And, certainly, I think that will happen. No rush, really. She just finished her career a few days ago, but I'm sure there's been discussion on that already. I think with Luca and Megan, Luca Garza and Megan Gustafson, that happened pretty quickly. So my guess is it'll probably happen next season. 44MLess at 44MLess, another frequent contributor to the podcast, and he sent this one last night. And again, it's hashtag HFmail, hashtag HFmail. You can send me questions, comments anytime during the week, and I will pick up where I left off on my Twitter X feed the previous week and just pick up with the last question I answered the previous week and go on from there. So it's not restricted to sending it to me the day or two before I record these mailbag podcasts. You can send them whenever a question or a comment enters your mind and you want to fire it my way. Again, the hashtag is HFmail, hashtag HFmail. How surprised were you in regards to the bench scoring differential? Also, in the NIL era, is it possible for programs like Iowa men's and women's basketball to have steps similar to SC? Thanks. Yeah, I mean, NIL and the transfer portal, Les, are ways to build rosters now, key ways to build rosters now. And you have to use them to build your roster. Otherwise, you're falling behind the competition. And we've talked about that on this podcast. I'm not, I guess, connected as well with women's basketball in terms of what it has in the NIL and what it costs to bring in players through the portal in terms of financial commitment on the women's side. There are more numbers that get thrown around on the men's side. Obviously, Tony Perkins is in there now and will get a nice payday. Wanted to stay here, but there was not the money here to pay him. So unfortunate situation for the men's program that I've written and talked about a lot the last few weeks and beyond and before that, but focused on it a lot the last 2 weeks. But yeah, the bench scoring the other night was 37-0. That's tough to overcome, along with the 51-29 rebounding advantage for South Carolina. I know a lot was made recently when Iowa made it back to the Final Four, and even after it beat UConn, that, you know, there was validation for not adding in the transfer portal before this past season for women's basketball. I still think it was a missed opportunity. And I think the bench was short most of the season. And it was particularly short towards the end of the season once Molly Davis got hurt. And some of the kids that were coming off the bench weren't as effective as they needed to be. So then you just pile more minutes on the starters. And eventually that wears you down. It was not ideal. Iowa, I don't know. I mean, the coaches evaluated the roster and felt like they had enough post-play and depth to win it all this year. But hindsight being 2020, it would have been nice to add a couple pieces in the portal that could have at least helped you off the bench for a few minutes here and there, or more, depending on how things shook out. But I do think it was a missed opportunity last year in the transfer portal. And again, it's hindsight, and I understand that. But I also felt like it was a little bit disingenuous to celebrate not getting anybody out of the portal this past year recently. You know, it was reported and written about how Iowa did it without the portal. It didn't do it without the portal. You looked at the championship game and you think about how additions to that roster could have helped in a game that was 5 points with 4 minutes to play. I think that's a fair question. And we'll see what happens this year and what the Iowa coaching staff on the women's side learned this past year. And now you have roster management and building a roster based on figuring out what you need this offseason. Iowa has 5 freshmen coming in its 2024 class, and then Hannah Stuckey and a Falter coming back as starters. And then after that, you know, you've got some experience with Feuerbach and McCabe and O'Grady, but not a ton. You know, Jada Jimfrey hasn't played that much. You know, the two freshmen that were this year, Ava Jones and Kenise Johnson, were hurt and didn't really play much. So there's going to be a lot for the Iowa women's basketball team to figure out now, not just having to replace Caitlin Clark, but how are you going to compete now with the roster that you have? And does going into the portal help that? And I think in most cases, adding through the portal people, one person, a player, student athlete or two, however you want to do it, if you find the right kids, it's you got to do it now. This is part of it. Other teams are doing it. Sometimes it doesn't work out. I think we saw with LSU, that team never came together. Still made the Elite Eight, but didn't come together. And so sometimes adding through the portal doesn't translate into helping and making you better, but that's part of the process now, is figuring out what you can do in the portal, what you can do NIL to supplement what you have. And that's really where the Iowa programs are. Obviously, you had the Caden Proctor situation where it was like a headliner for the Iowa football program. Obviously, those of us paying attention know how that went down. And but for the most part, I think it's more, you know, Nick Jackson types. You saw Cade McNamara was a headliner too. So Iowa's gotten some headliners in football, but the resources aren't there as much in basketball for NIL. So you're having to be a little bit more creative, especially on the men's side. Appreciate that, Les, and that's a good question. Certainly one that crossed my mind when I was watching the game on Sunday. Jesse Lussier, he's the new addition to this episode. He came in about an hour ago. I think Caitlin's rivalries with other college players is all in good fun. Do you see that continuing with certain current WNBA players who seemingly initiated a rivalry with Caitlin, or do you think Caitlin will take the disrespect to heart this summer? I almost think that, and she said this the other day, and you can kind of see it when you're watching. I think she does just an incredible job of being able to block out any of that noise when it's time to play. And she is so hyper-focused and into what's going on in the court that I'm not sure how motivated she is to just say, okay, I'm going to one-up Diana Taurasi or Brianna Stewart or whoever it may be. And I don't think it's a large number of people that are flipping her shit. I think it's a smaller number of people. And the UConn women's basketball players, rightfully so, they have the, I mean, they have the most, you know, the winningest program in the history of the sport. There's arrogance there. And when somebody else is getting the attention, I think, unfortunately, sometimes human nature and ego and competitiveness brings out unnecessary friction and, you know, pushback. But again, as I said earlier, I think people will realize Caitlin's contributions to the sport are more than just how great she is as a player. It's the interest she's bringing to the sport. And that's good any way you slice it. You can be jealous of that. You could say there were players better than her before that should have gotten that attention. None of that matters. We're here today, and she has a chance to help bring this sport more into the public consciousness. And I'm talking about the WNBA more than college basketball, because she's already lifted that sport. Let's see what she can do with the WNBA. And I think once she does that, Jesse, I think more people will just be like, all right, this is cool. I'm getting more money. We're getting more attention. She's helping us do that. And I think once they get to meet Caitlin and get to know her, and how much respect she has for the sport, her appreciation for the history of the sport, all of those things, once they meet her, I mean, we saw with Maya Moore, I think a lot of this stuff will just go away. I think it's hard for professionals to watch a college player be the most popular player in a given sport. It's like if there was a men's college player that's a bigger star than, you know, Jokic or LeBron or somebody like that, or in the NFL, if, you know, Caleb Williams is a bigger star than, you know, Patrick Mahomes, that would be hard to take. And that's kind of the odd dynamic we're dealing with here. So that's kind of my take on that, Jesse. I think this is just kind of a period of time where there was separation between Caitlin and the league. Once she gets into the league, I think she and Aaliyah Boston are both seem like super nice people. And I think we'll hit it off and be a dangerous 1-2 punch in Indiana. That will bring more attention to the sport. And hopefully, like I said, the rising tide lifts all boats. Hopefully there's an appreciation there, because is she going to dominate the way she did in college in the WNBA? Nah. They're, you know, whatever it is, 120, 140, whatever, however many players there are in the league, 150, the best in the world. And that's going to be a lot different than playing, you know, a bad Big Ten team or a non-conference game against, you know, whoever. She did it against the best college teams, but it's still going to be a huge step up when she goes to the league in a few months. So I forget when games start. I think they're in May. But, you know, I do think to your question, Jesse, that everything will kind of smooth out here shortly once she gets into the league and gets through the league, especially her first year, and becomes one of the faces of the league. I think the growing popularity, there will always be some resentment and some ego and people that can't handle her fame. But for the most part, I think people with sensible, reasonable minds will understand the impact she has on the sport. So, all right, guys, I don't see anything else here. I'll do a quick search of the HF mail just to make sure. And I will go to my profile and make sure nobody asked anything underneath. Let's see. Nope. Looks like we're good. Looks like we got it all. So I appreciate everybody for sending in questions. The three folks that did, PFAC, Les and Jesse, thanks for checking in and making this episode possible. Thank you for everybody for listening. And we certainly want to thank our sponsors for helping us bring in these podcasts, as I said, free of charge, no Patreon or any of that stuff. So got to get ready to go over do some football interviews. But thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Stay tuned or check in on my at Rob Howe HN on Twitter X. For programming updates for later this week when we'll have the hotspot. But Scott and I will get together at some point, maybe tomorrow, Wednesday, April the 10th, maybe Friday, the 11th. But I'll talk to Scott today and I'll let you know. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our sponsors. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace.